And he's leading me in a series called Hardcore Straight Edge. And if you've not been here for the last couple weeks, or you missed a week, or you weren't here 2 weeks ago when I started it, I want to kind of give you a little background of this, because, and if you've heard this before, please bear with us. But if you've not heard this, it's just a powerful story. You know, my wife and I have been going throughout the area. You know, we frequent Starbucks quite often, and I see a friend of mine from Starbucks here today. He's a wonderful guy. If you see him, say hello. But we go to Starbucks, we kind of spread it around. We go to a number of them. We've gotten to know quite a few of them, the people at Starbucks. And the one young lady that we've kind of got to know quite well was sitting with us, and this is the quick story, the introduction here. We were just sitting with her months and months back. And she was just getting to know us, and we were sitting at Starbucks for about an hour or so over at North Canton. And she just asked us a question, well, what do you guys like to do for fun? And she, you know, we tell her, and she goes, well, you don't drink? No. And she went through this, you know, list of things. And no, we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that. And she just looks at me, well, geez, oh, man, you're straight edge. And we really had no idea what that meant. And then she says, what do you guys do for livings? And I said, well, we're pastors. She goes, oh, you're hardcore straight edgers. And I said, I guess so, right? So that kind of got in my spirit, and God started birthing in me a sermon series. And so I started to look into, what does this mean? What does hardcore straight edge mean? And as you know, if you've been here, I introduced it a few weeks ago, and that straight edge term is a term used in the punk rock community back, and it started in the 70s and 80s, where if you weren't involved in some of the behaviors, the drugs, the alcohol, some of the other risky behaviors they were participating in, if you were not doing that, they called you a straight edge person. And you would brand yourself a straight edge. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we put the black X, but we used a cross, but they would use an actual X on their hand to say, that's how I identify. I'll be part of the punk rock community. I love the music. I love the scene. I love the culture. I'm just not going to do a lot of the risky behaviors that comes along with it. And it was amazing because we found out that they would commit for life. They made this commitment forever. It wasn't for a year. It wasn't for 6 months. It was just forever. And they were committed to persevere forever on, I won't drink. I will not involve myself in this risk behavior, drugs, casual sex, whatever the case may be. And they were committed to that. We talked about that, and I want to go through a few things what they believe. These people that were called straight-edge people in this culture, they believe these things, and it's refraining from these intoxicants in them, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, and what. They won't do it. They respected their body. They respected nature and animals. They have this attitude of do it yourself. Be intense about it. And if you're hardcore on it, that means not only intense about your convictions to be straight, you're hardcore in your behavior. See, it's one thing to commit to something, to say you're not going to do it, but it's another thing, church, to say, I'm not going to engage in the behavior. And I'm not here to tell you I know everything about this. I've done a fair amount of reading. I'm part of some of the, I told you, the bulletin boards online, and I read, and, you know, I'm reading some of the things that the culture, and I'm learning, and I'm just been really intrigued because some of their convictions are better than ours. And I think that's why God laid on my heart to speak on this, because some of the things they're doing on their behavior side is better than some of the things I think we do. And God said, you need to speak life on that. I said, okay, Father, I will do that. So we introduced that a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about the sellout. Now, when you're in the culture like this and you're committed to be straight in your behavior for life, and you decide at some point not to live like that anymore, they brand you a sellout. I was just so intrigued with that. And they had a number of levels, I call them. That's not what they really are, but I guess I have no other term for them, but, you know, and let me read them, and this is what we talked about last week. You know, they brand you a sellout, but there's those that are called square edgers in the straight edge movement. They do no drugs, alcohol, risky behaviors, or whatever. That is the conviction, kind of like us. You know, as a believer, when you come into the kingdom of Christ, you are saying, I commit my life to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. That makes me a Christian. You accept Christ as Savior, you're going to live a life like that, and you make a commitment, but the commitment is only as good as the perseverance and the behavior that you follow, right? Many people make commitments and we don't follow through. These people were making commitments and they wanted to follow through. Half-edged people said, well, you know, I'll do not do this and this, but this one I kind of like. I won't do the drugs, but I like to drink. I'm going to drink. So I'm a half-edger. That's what they did. They say, okay, I'm not going to do this behavior, but I'm good with this one over here, and I'm fine with this. They brand them half-edgers. And there's others like breaking edge. Now, I just said that. If they decide at some point after they make a commitment and they back from that commitment and they pull away from it, they call that breaking edge. In the Christian community, we call that backsliding. That's what I grew up with, you know. Years ago, when I was growing up younger, and I was in church, and I hear this term backsliding, and that's, I didn't know what that meant as a youngster, but as I got older, you know, I learned what that meant. I forgot to dismiss Calvary's kids. Did anyone take off for Calvary's kids? I'm sorry. Thank you. See, in a few weeks, we won't have to do that because they're going to have a whole service. So anyway, so breaking edge, you know, they back away from what they believe. And I talked about last week on the sellout part of it. We talked about what they believed and why they sell out and what happens when they sell out. And I was intrigued at the fact that when they sold out, that some of the community, the culture would ostracize them. Can you imagine the church doing that? The church does do that sometimes, unfortunately. It just tears my heart out. It just really, you know, somebody's struggling in their faith and the church kind of leaves them struggling in their faith. That's really rough, right? But they believe it's a commitment and not a brotherhood. They believe in that commitment. I am just continually to be intrigued with how their conviction is on the commitment. And that commitment is to do what they think is right. Now, we may not think it's the right thing, some of the things they do, or anybody does. It's their personal convictions, right? It's what they feel they have to do to live a clean life, whatever that may be. And that commitment means something to them. And we talked about how it's not a, you know, in their mind, it's not a brotherhood. In fact, I read last week one of the synopsis or narratives by one of the straight edgers online. I found them. As I'm participating in some of these bulletin boards, I see people posting things, and I found this one that was really powerful, and I read it last week, and it basically said, you know, this is about a commitment, not a brotherhood. And one guy comes back and says, I want the brotherhood. I miss the brotherhood. I miss the fellowship of the brotherhood. I want that. And they would come back and say, no, it's not about being just the brotherhood. It's about your convictions, your commitment to persevering and doing what you think is right. I may not think that's right, he would say. And the other guy would say, that's okay. It's what you think. Because individuality is big. You know, you see that in our society today, individuality. You know, if it feels good, just do it. And that's how they feel. It's okay. And no one gets down on them. But this one guy came and said, I need that brotherhood. And here's what one of the responses was as I move forward. And I read this last week. This gentleman comes back and says, straight edge isn't about, it's about living straight and clean. Being part of the scene, but living straight and clean, whatever your conviction is, whatever your lifestyle conviction. But if you want this brotherhood you keep talking about, go join a church where there's not much commitment. See, that's their perspective. Yes, thank you. Ouch. That's heavy. And I really started diving into that. Wow, this commitment and brotherhood. And today's message is about hardcore straight edge commitment. Here's a group that commits. Some of them back away and they sell out, but others do it for life. And I am reading and reading and reading about these ones that are doing it for life and why they do it. And why do they do it? Because they have this personal conviction to stay clean. And then they write about the commitment they made they cannot break. I wish the church was like that. I wish we all were like that. God, I made a commitment. I'm not going to break it. We don't do that. Some of us do, right? You know, I have to admit, in prayer time, I'm not going to say I've backed away and backed because I haven't, but I'm saying I've struggled with things, right? We all do. The pastor isn't above anything. We struggle with things. We fight and battle, and, you know, we get in the trenches in prayer, and we got to do the same thing you do. Maybe more so. But I want to talk to you today about this hardcore straight edge commitment. Their commitment's a pledge and a promise. That's what it means. Commitment means a pledge and promise with no rules. Because they don't really believe in rules in this culture. You know, we live by a lot of rules. There's rules in my house. There's rules to drive our cars. There's rules, right? Our kids are sick of the rules, and they're all adults, right? We live by, they don't live by rules, but they live by this commitment. If they're in this culture of punk rock scene, and they say they're not going to engage in this risky behavior that they identify, and they say, I'm just going to be committed, and they live by that, let me read to you something. It says, straight edge isn't about rules. This is one of them that I am quoting. I'm not going to write a name here or anything. It just, this is what they wrote. Straight edge isn't about rules. It's a philosophy about being in control of your own actions, making decisions for yourself. They disbelieve in this individuality, right? As a result, you'll choose not to do drugs, not to drink, not to do anything else that you are convicted about not doing. If caffeine is a problem for you, just don't do it. If you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine. Go do it. Whatever it is, that's what your convictions are. You be committed to that. We support you. When I hear there's rules, I think of something I want to do, but I just can't do it. I see straight edge as a commitment that I proudly live by. Wow, I'm just made so much sense to me. I hear in the church, I hear people saying, you know, that the rule says we can't do that. And I talk to people and they say, well, the Bible says that's a rule, we can't do that. You shouldn't want to feel like that. You should do it because of the convictions in your life and the commitment you made to live this way. Is the commitment, not the rules. See, these people got it. They got it. They're telling their own people, it's not about the rule. It's about the commitment. He says, what separates me is that I have taken a lifetime oath to abstain, listen to this, from the world's filth. He identified it as filth. And it's okay if you want to do it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm straight as I'm not going to do it. I'm hardcore intense about it. I'm just not going to do this behavior. I'm committed. Now, church, think about it. If we lived like that as the church of Jesus Christ, and we stood firm on our convictions and our commitments, and we weren't moved by anything, what would the church be able to do? We would move a mountain. Just like we sang about. We would just go right through the mountains. Now, I'm not saying at all, no, that because there's a mountain in your life that you're not moving because you're not living straight. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the convictions of the commitment can be so much, and we're going to talk about it here in a second, that you can move through it a lot easier. Because the Bible does talk about trials and tribulations and sufferings, and we know that. But it also talks about having to get through those barriers and how you do it by faith if you only believe. It's like we prayed about. The expectation, right? There's three areas that the straight edge movement and that commitment resonated with me. It resonated with me in purpose. Why did they do it? It resonated with me with their passion about it. And it resonated with me the perseverance. The purpose they do it, the passion with which they do it, and the perseverance that they do it through. Because the peer pressure is kind of rough. They let them be their own individuality. They do their own thing. But, you know, there's all this stuff kind of going on. There's peer pressure and everywhere you go. And there's this battle, right? No matter where you're at, churches or the punk rock scene or anywhere, there's always somebody there, right? To put peer, our kids, wow, they go through a ton. They go through more than I ever did, right? But those three things of purpose, passion, and perseverance is what God really laid on my heart. So I want to talk about those this morning. I want to talk about the straight edge commitment to their purpose. The word purpose means the reason we do something, the end result. The whole reason we're doing it. The straight edge purpose is for individuality. I can do it because I want to do it, and you can't tell me otherwise. That's their purpose. They want to just do it. And it's okay, right? They don't do anything they don't want to do. And that's okay. That's how they believe. They are hardcore about their individuality. Nobody's going to tell them. In terms of traditional and specifically institutional religion, straight edge is viewed as, they view us as the worst, at worst, religion is extremely damaging. This is them talking about us now. See, I'm preaching about them, kind of, and how we overlap, and they kind of, I'm reading some of this stuff, and this is how they feel. They say that your institutional religion is extremely damaging, and it ruins your society. And at best, it's just irrelevant. It serves no purpose for me whatsoever. Lost. We see that as they struggle. We see that as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we see people struggling. That's why we are the Church of Jesus Christ. Why do they believe this? Why do they feel like that? Because their culture and everything in their culture, just like most cultures, just like the world, is all centered around them. How they feel and their individuality. The Church of Jesus Christ, you and I, hopefully all of you here, believe differently. We believe it's all about somebody else, not us. And it pains a pastor to watch the church talk about, well, pastor, I don't like that. It's not for me. This is. When I want to hear, what do we have to do to help them? What do we have to do to reach them? What do we have to do to reach outside our walls to help somebody that doesn't know what I know? That's the church. And I'm not saying at the sacrifice of us as people. I'm just saying our calling is to reach people. They believe, this culture believes it's about them. Wow, pastor, that's not just that culture. That's the world. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The battle, right? The battle. That's why the mission here at this church is this. It's on our website, calvarylife.church. Our mission is to reach people in need of Christ. It's our mission here. We ready those people to grow in their faith. We're going to do even better in 2019 to reach them and ready them. It's our mission. And then we're going to release them back into the community to reach others. Pastor, that's not just our mission. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. That's right. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's who we are as people. That's the commitment. That's the purpose. They have a purpose to be individualistic. I have a purpose to reach them because they're individualistic. I want to show them another way. I want to show them the way to heaven. I want to show them how to go from where they're at to where they need to be. I want to show them how to walk with Jesus. I want to show them how to get close to God. I want them to feel the power you and I felt this morning during worship, and I believe is still here. I want to show them how to move a mountain in their life that they don't have to move themselves. I want to be a catalyst for change for them. I want them to know that they know that they know that there is something bigger than them in their culture. You and I do that together. That's why the mission here is to reach people in need of Christ, ready them to grow in their faith, and release people to reach others. Our primary purpose here at this church, the Church of Jesus Christ, the very reason we exist, our reason for life is to help other people. The straight edge movement is to be themselves. It's inwardly. It's not inwardly here. It's outwardly here. And that's why the pastor moves the church outward, to think outwardly, not inward. It's okay for us to fellowship. It's okay for us to love one another. It's okay for us to like certain types of songs and worship. It's okay for liking or disliking certain messages and preaching. It's okay. But it's not about us. It's about what we can do to reach others, to feed them, clothe them, help them. That's why we have a food pantry here that feeds 100 families every month. That's what we do, and that's why we go out through the Calvary for Canton initiative to reach people. It's our reason to exist. It is our purpose. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've said this before, I believe, as your pastor, I believe that everything in your personal life flows from that purpose. See, Rick Warren made a whole career in ministry about purpose. Good stuff. If you don't know who Rick Warren is, just Google it. Good stuff. But there's a primary purpose, which you hear me talk about and preach about a lot because it is so core critically important to you as an individual. And that is the mission of God to seek and save the lost. which is spelled out in the scripture in Luke 19:10. And this is why I just display the scripture so much. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save Pastor Brad." Thank God he did that for me. Because I was lost. I had no place to go. I didn't know what to do. And as soon as I walked to the altar at 9 years old and I bowed my head down and I was led through the sinner's prayer and I accepted Christ as Savior at 9 years old, I turned from that altar and my life changed. Because God revealed his power to me. God revealed purpose to me. God gave me something bigger than myself at nine. And I walked away from that in high school years because I just wasn't doing the right things. And I came back to it really fast. Why? Because I wanted to have a commitment and persevere to the purpose God gave me. See, that's the beginning. The mission of God is to reach somebody else. And when you put that as the primary purpose in your life, as these people do, as this culture is about themselves reaching them, but we reach others. When you do that in your personal life, everything in your life flows from that. It changes. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Luke 19:10, Jesus Christ came for one reason, to seek and save the lost. That's why he came. The second thing this movement talks about is being passionate. Your pastor is a passionate person. What's passion? You go back and look at it, and you do the research in the word, and it goes back to the Latin, it goes back to the Greek, but it comes down to this word called suffer. The passion of Jesus, suffering. The straight edge movement have passion. Inward individualistic passion in their convictions to stay clean. Passionate about it. They believe that. You know, you start looking into passionate and passion and reading about it and studying it, and you know that that word passion means a lot of different things. You sit here right now and you think what that means in your mind. What does passion mean? Let me tell you a few things about passion. Passion can be good or bad. It can be sinful or righteous. It can be overwhelming, and it can override being rational. We see it in the news every day. People are now irrational because of their passions, because they believe something so overwhelmingly that they're not thinking straight. I've done that. So have you. We have been so passionate about some of the things we believe and move on that we kind of stop thinking sometimes. We got to be careful. See, this group is so passionate about doing what they feel convicted to do that they're missing the fact that there is a creator that made them. Your job is to go tell them. My job too. Passion dictates behaviors. Passion dictates your behavior. Paul wrote that God gave them up for their sinful passions in Romans 1:26. He gave them up. You want to sin? Have at it. You make a choice. He gave them up. Passion can be an affliction of the mind, of your emotions. It can change you. It can make you do things you don't want to do. It can take you places you don't want to go. It makes you think differently. It could be good. It could be bad. It could be positive. It could be negative. You decide. Your pastor is passionate about reaching the lost. Have you figured that out? Why? Because I've got something that I know is life-changing eternally. And I want to give it to somebody. But I can only tell them to their physical ears, God touches the heart. That's not my domain. But I will tell them. I will preach to them. I will witness to them. But I can't change the heart, but God can. But they're going to hear it. I am passionate. Passion can swing in so many different areas, but it's almost always extremely intense and can involve some suffering. Jesus suffered. He was passionate to do what he had to do, to seek and save the lost, to go to the cross. He was passionate to die for me. Some of the passion that you see in the world is so bad that people die for it. They die because they're so passionate about something. They die for it. And not like Jesus died for it. People give up their lives because they're so passionate. They're not thinking rationally because passion overtakes their emotions. Careful. See, that's why the enemy really likes to get us all juiced up on stuff. Gets passionate. Because our emotions can dictate our behaviors. And so this movement believes they are so passionate about that I think that they're missing some things. But we'll go to them and explain it and help them along. We'll make a difference. Right? The Bible speaks of many passions. The Christ passion, Acts chapter 1, 3. Sinful passions in Romans 1, 26. Burning passions, 1 Corinthians 7, 9. Crucifying your passions, 2 Timothy 4. Spending money on your passions, James 4. Passing of passions, 1 Peter 4. The Bible's full of passions. Some good, some not so good. Listen to what it says in Jude 22 through 23. It's talking about commitment. Here's a commitment. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, just show mercy. Be committed, church, to that. Be committed to that. Jeremiah 29 in the NIV says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot do it. The fire wells up. The passion wells up so much, Jeremiah says, I got to get it out. I got to tell somebody. I got to get it out there because I have something to say. Passion. Here's a dangerous thing that happens in the church. We get real passionate about fellowship. It's okay. We're going to fellowship here in a few minutes. We're going to eat good soup. That's okay. But sometimes we get so passionate about fellowship, we don't get passionate enough about evangelism. In church, it's upside down. We should be more passionate about evangelism than we are about fellowship. So when my wife and I go into churches, we've been doing this interim pastoral ministry. Now we're pastoring here, but we've done this for 11 years. And one of the things we look at right away is, are they too passionate about the fellowship and have no passion for reaching the lost? And guess what? We find out all the time. That's why you see me the way I am here. I got to flip that. I got to make sure that evangelism is core critical here. Prayer to support the evangelism. The fellowship comes together and we believe that we're doing the right things because we are the church of Jesus Christ to fellowship with each other, help one another, lift each other up, but not at the sacrifice of reaching people who don't know Jesus. You can't sacrifice that. That's the mission of God. And that's why we got to be passionate about that and intense and hardcore about it. Right? And that's why I am the way I am. We have a message to get out. That's why we pass out cards. That's why we spent the money to print them. Give a card. It's easy. Right? Invite people to church. It's easy. We've had more people come through the church because my wife and I pass out a card. Almost on a regular basis, someone shows up on a Sunday because my wife and I gave them a card. Right? Passion often separates success and failures. Listen to some of the well-known people throughout the world in the past have said. A French military strategist, his name was Ferdinand Foch, said, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul that's on fire. Helen Keller said, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. She couldn't see and she couldn't hear. The German philosopher George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel said, nothing great in the world has been accomplished without passion. Fire on the inside affects everything on the outside. My fire on the inside should flow out of me and affect you. It should come out of me. It should come out of you. When people see you in the store and they see you in the restaurant, you should be so passionate about your faith that it should come out of you, not in an offensive way, but in reaching people. Changing their lives. Our spiritual journey, passion, can help provide the incentive to continue all the way to heaven. Listen, church, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Knowledge is valuable, but passion is invaluable. And that group, the Straight Edgers, they realize that. Passionate about what they believe. Somebody give me passionate here of what we believe. Be convicted. Stand up and be counted. Let people know who you are and be passionate about it, right? Writer William Ward wrote, "Enthusiasm and persistence can make an average person superior. Indifference and lethargy can make a superior person average." So be passionate. Passion drives you, right? God wants to see you passionate. Jesus was passionate all the way to the cross. Now there was passion. There is suffering, but there is passion. Isaiah 6:8, I love this scripture. I use it. I know. Isaiah 6:8. "Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who would go for me? Who would be passionate to send out the message? Anybody?' And Isaiah says, 'Lord, send me. I'll go.'" Now that is a statement of passion, because the word doesn't say where he's going, what he's doing. Just send me. I'll go. Just let me be the one. And take a step of faith and go do it. And watch what your life happens to your life and the changes that God does for you. Take a step of faith and be passionate. Straight edge commitment for perseverance. I love this. Perseverance. Perseverance, continuing your action. See, that commitment means nothing without perseverance. You could commit to something right here today or tomorrow, whatever, but if you don't persevere from it, you got nothing. This group of people, this culture, committed to being clean for life. And they persevered. And if they didn't, they kind of ostracized them. But there's some of them that just stay with it because they persevered. Straight edge perseverance, that commitment for life. The believer's perseverance, a commitment to continue in a state of grace to the end, leading to something. What's the purpose? Leading to eternal salvation. See, church, you could be committed and you could persevere all the way to the next to last day, and then you back away, and then you got nothing. You got to persevere all the way to the end to get something. You, eternal life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because they have stood the test. That person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Perseverance. Power in the perseverance. Another day. I pray at night, "God, give me another day." I wake up and I say, "God, thank you for another day I'm faced with. Thank you, Lord." Passion. Last night I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, could hardly get back to sleep. I knew God was going to do something today. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought the good fight." I love this scripture. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's a commitment. It's a perseverance. We're going to fight the good fight. We're going to move through this perseverance thing because at the end of the fight, there's victory. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I finished the race." It means nothing to race all the way to the end and not cross the finish line. And the scripture bears that out. That commitment of perseverance has got to be there to the end. To the end. And then the judgment is there, right? And then you hear those words. If you're a believer, you hear the words, "Welcome, thy good and faithful servant," the word says. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Enter in thy presence of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant." I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward right now, and as I wind this up, because I got some important things to say. Like, the most important thing we will ever do in our lives, it's not our jobs, it's not all the stuff that we surround our lives with, it's about our commitment to follow Jesus. That is the most important thing. There is no bigger commitment that you will ever make on the face of this planet than when you reconcile and believe that you have reached heaven and your commitment to follow Jesus. And why do I know that? Because Scripture says the Son of the living God came to seek and save the lost. That was the mission. No greater mission and no greater commitment. Right? And then he gave that to us as a church. He left the face of the planet. He ascended to heaven and he said, I leave you all power in heaven, on earth, to do what I did. That commitment to seek and save the lost with purpose. As soon as I really understood and started living this life of commitment on the purpose and persevering and realizing that it's evangelistic outreach to reach the people that don't know Jesus like I know, as soon as I got my priorities straight, things really started to come into balance. And God said, wow, you're getting it. You're finally figuring it out. Is your life a commitment only to follow Jesus, but no perseverance? No staying power, no passion to get there, no passion to get you through the next day. I commit myself, Lord, but there's no perseverance to go through. You make a pledge or a promise, but you don't push through on the perseverance part. Are you here today that you don't even know who I'm talking about? In a couple minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to change your life. But it's a choice of commitment to persevere. I can't make the choice for you. I will do what the Bible says to speak it to your ear, but God will have to speak to your heart. You know, we're not guaranteed any more time. Church, this could be it. I don't know. The Bible says even Jesus Christ doesn't know the hour or the day that the end will come. So your pastor doesn't know. But I know this. There'll come a day. Well, it'll be it. And my perseverance and my commitment to Jesus Christ will be the only thing that stood there. Everything else will be gone. But I'll have a commitment with my Creator. If you don't know that Jesus that I know today, I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime. If you are a believer sitting here today, that you're saying, I'm not doing this perseverance commitment thing. I'm seeing people in the world do it in this culture of punk rock. They might be doing it better than me. Today I'm going to make that change. I'm going to change that. I'm not going to let somebody else get in the way of my commitment with my Creator. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to get there. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to stand up to be counted. I'm going to go through the mountain. I'm going to believe. I'm going to pray. I'm going to persevere. Because I've got purpose and passion. I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you don't know the Jesus that I know, I'm going to go through 3 quick steps. When I get to number 3, I'm going to ask you to raise up your hand quick. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want more perseverance and passion to do what God's called you to do and move out, stand up and be counted and move the mountains, I'm going to give you the same opportunity to make a change today. 3 counts. Number 1, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. There is, could be no other day. Today is the day, the Bible says. Today is the day. When I get to 3, shoot your hand up. Number 2, the Bible says no one knows the hour or the day. When the Creator of the heavens and the earth says, we are done. Call in my church. I have had enough. Call them in. Let's move forward. Who are the ones that were committed to me and persevered and loved me, committed, seek and save the lost? They changed their lives. They were earth movers and pushing through mountains. Who are those people? Bring them home, the Bible says. Number 3, all eyes closed or all eyes open. because I'm raising my hand. I didn't ask you to close your eyes, but you can. I'm raising my hands because your pastor wants more. I want more passion. I want more dedication. I want more commitment. I want God to start with me. I want to be the one. I want to be the leader. I want God to change me first. I want to be the one. God sees all those hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 29 hands. God sees your hands. Today is a life-changing day in the house at Calvary. You watch what happens. The power of the living God moves out. Stand with me, church. You are life changers at Calvary. We're going to sing together. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. We have altar workers here. We're going to close on a song. I'll end on a prayer. We'll dismiss. We'll go fellowship. Life changes today. You believe it, church? Let's sing together.
If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We've come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you've loved us from the start. Waiting here for you. Your faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Oh, we're waiting here for you with our hands lifted.
Come on, church.
Singing alleluia. Singing alleluia. Singing alleluia. Singing alleluia. to you, only you. We adore, we adore, singing Alleluia. Waiting here for you with our
Father God, we thank you, Lord, you brought us into the house today. Lord, we thank you. You're laying on our hearts commitment, Lord, to persevere for the purpose, Lord. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, now bless us as we depart. As we go out, Lord, in fellowship, Lord, next door and onward throughout this week, Lord, I pray, Lord God, your touches upon each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Come back Wednesday night. We'll see you even next week.